ToList.com. Welcome, I'm your host Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is May 24, 2012. This is episode 95 of the To Do List Home podcast. How to green a dead patch of lawn, or permaculture principle number 8. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Take 5 by Dave Brubeck, recorded on Time Out from 1959. Watch and listen through the links that can be found in the show notes. Dig this jazzy tune. Todolisthome.com is your resource for information on preparing for the future and retiring early, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency and reliance, home and life improvement projects, and reviews of companies, products, and services to make it all happen. We're making a better life, and this is how we do it. Connect with us. Listen to us on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites are at todolisthome.com. You'll find files that you can download for your to-do list. Share your to-do list ideas with us and tell your friends about todolisthome.com. On our to-do list today is how to green a dead patch of lawn, or permaculture principle number 8. Permaculture is a philosophy of ecological design which attempts to develop sustainable human settlements and agricultural systems modeled from natural ecosystems. Principle number 8 in particular states that we should integrate rather than segregate. Many hands make light work. By putting the right things in the right place, relationships develop between those things and they work together to support each other. I have had problems with large dead patches of lawn in the backyard since I moved to this home 3 years ago. The largest areas of dead lawn are near the shed where the lawn is mostly shaded by trees. At least it was until I recently cut down an old oak tree. The dead patches occurred on either side of the small walkway that leads to the shed. The photos at todolisthome.com depict what these patches looked like. The backyard slopes steeply from the southeast and east to the northwest corner, and when it rains hard, there's almost a small stream that used to wash through the yard. Every time I attempted to repair the dead patch ended in failure, as there was never enough soil or lawn started to hold back the water. In particular, the stream that would run past would run right in front of the shed and right over the dead patches that are pictured at todolisthome.com. I also have water runoff from the back of the home down the entire lawn as it all slopes to the northwest. But recently, I've redesigned the backyard to make room for blueberry and elderberry plants laid out in U-shaped gardens around the different hugelkultur beds I have in the backyard. These plants and the mounds that they have been placed in rise up off the ground and they help to absorb a lot of the water runoff. But I hadn't done anything near the shed yet, and that was the most unsightly area. The first photo at the top at todolisthome.com shows a stark comparison between the vibrant green patch and the remaining dead patches. The patch on the left was repaired earlier this spring, and it has served as a successful experiment to continue the method I employ for repairing dead patches. I have unsuccessfully tried for 3 years to repair this large dead patch area. The first failed method was to rake over the dead patch, put some lawn fertilizer on it, and then cover it with grass seed. It didn't work, and it all got washed away quickly. The second year I tried again, that time by laying some compost over the dead patch, adding a little soil, and then topping with some grass seed. And that didn't work either, as it got washed away too. Last year, I tried for the third time in a similar fashion, but covered the grass seed with hay to help hold it until it got a good start. But that eventually failed as well. The reason for these failures I eventually determined was twofold. One, there was an old oak tree in front of the shed which had provided too much shade and nothing else useful. The other reason was for the soil itself, because it was barren. It was barely just a half inch of dirt covering clay. As I have been learning more about permaculture and gardening, soil improvement and compost, I have become more adept at adjusting to the challenges that my yard and gardens have posed. The idea for the cure for dead patches of lawn, I've found, stems from my reading and learning. In particular, it comes from my reading of Gaia's Garden and my listening to thesurvivalpodcast.com. They've proven to be most reliable for understanding what makes things green. In short, green comes as a result of carbon dioxide, which is a byproduct of life. And if I had no life under what I was trying to build on, then my endeavors were doomed to fail, such as those of a man who builds his house on sand. Both Gaia's Garden and Jack Spirko of thesurvivalpodcast.com have taught me how to observe my challenges from different perspectives, and rather than attempt to cover blemishes, it is important to literally dig below the surface to see what is not working. When I considered from permaculture principle number 8's perspective, it began to make sense to me that if I wanted to green over the dead areas, I had to inject them with some life. By putting the right things in the right place, I was trying to develop relationships between living things that would eventually end up supporting one another and thriving. As I have learned from 4 years of making compost, it is the little things that make the larger things successful. And in the case of lawn repair and compost, it is the microorganisms that help to form life chains that other life forms can cling to and thrive on. My practice of implementing hugelkultur, or burying wood and growing things on top of that, has led me to believe that successful greening of an area comes from the ability of life forms to thrive in that area, not just above the ground, but to the tiniest creatures below the ground, and even larger creatures that feed off the tiniest creatures under the ground. To accomplish green where there was dead lawn, I needed to think beyond grass and imagine what kind of life forms it would be neat to have thrive in a previously dead area. So, as I mentioned earlier, I took a new approach this spring to repairing part of the large dead patched area, and I did this by digging a small trench about 5 foot long and placing a log in it from a recently cut out oak tree. I only dug the trench about 3 to 4 inches, and the log was probably at least 8 inches in diameter, so it stuck above the ground quite a bit. I then covered this log with leaves and compost and dirt, and I wanted to build this contour up higher than the original ground in which the log was laid. So since the ground sloped into the almost buried log, which was actually, again, above the backfilled area, and this backfilled area is about 6 foot by 8 foot, I covered it with lots of compost and soil made from topsoil, peat moss, vermiculite, and composted manure. I then generously covered the area with white Dutch clover, winter rye, and grass seed, and the result after 2 months is the green area you see in the first photo at todolisthome.com. The success from this repair began to become glaring once it became successful, because the dead patch next to it stood out even more. I go to my shed a lot, and every time it always kind of disgusted me to look at the dead patch, and I always said, I'll get to that, I'll do that soon. But I never did, until Sunday, and I took the method I was using to a new level. This dead patch has been the most troublesome and unsightly in the whole yard, and it was becoming ridiculous of me to not fix it when you take into consideration all the success I've had with growing things around the home. So, last Sunday afternoon, I just happened to be in the right frame of mind, and maybe my father visiting tomorrow was a good incentive to make this repair, but regardless, I was motivated, and once I started this difficult task, I couldn't stop. The difficult part was mostly trying to cut logs into shape. And right now I still only have hand tools for cutting logs. I try not to make things difficult, but I knew if I wanted this to work, then I would have to bury some logs and build up on them rather than just lay them on the ground and cover them. You can see from the photos at todolisthome.com the trenches that were dug and the logs that were put in them. The logs were 2 feet, 3 feet, and 4 feet in length and laid in their respective trenches. The logs were laid perpendicular to the water travel of the yard. And if larger swells like this are to be attempted, it's really recommended to dig them on contour using an A-frame to ensure their levelness. I have a link at todolisthome.com in today's show notes to a video of Jack Spirko showing exactly how to do this properly. For the tight space that I was working with, I have confidence my method will hold true. These logs will help hold water over time and break down, releasing lots of nutrients. Once the logs were laid in place, I covered them with leaves and compost, and then put a 4-inch layer of everything consisting, again, of peat moss, topsoil, vermiculite, and compost. I didn't have any compost manure left, and I don't think it's actually necessary, as my compost is right now quite excellent. I then took a 5-gallon bucket of potting soil and mixed it with seeds of all sorts. There was Dutch white clover, wheat, alfalfa, beans, and hairy vetch, to name a few. This unique mixture is intended to release lots of nutrients into the soil. Those nutrients, especially nitrogen, will help feed all of the microorganisms put in there with the compost, the leaves, and the logs. Thus, putting permaculture principle number 8 to the test. My son and I spread all this seed around and then covered it with hay. Now I am quite excited about not looking at that dead patch ever again. It has been a bane for me for going on 4 years, and I think I finally fixed it. I am confident of this attempt to repair the dead patch of lawn into something unique because we've already had lots of rain this week and the area is sprouting with green forms of life. I'll keep you posted on how it and other dead patches develop as time goes by. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.